In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it is great to be back here and making my I wish it was an annual pilgrimage to this lovely campus, but for some reason my iPad is not working. What's going on here? Ah, there we go. Okay. So anyway, great to be back. So excited about what the Lord is doing in this place and in your lives for being in this place. Recently, I found some church signs that were promoted among certain people. These are actual church signs that were in front of churches. And since some of you are going to be pastors, I thought you ought to know about some of these. This one was, "Now is a good time to visit our church. Our pastor's on vacation. Can't sleep? We can help. The pastor's sermons are now available online." These are true. These were really true. "The pastor saw his shadow. 6 more weeks of lousy sermons." "Sermon, the reality of hell. Come early and hear our choir." And then, "Try Jesus. If you don't like him, the devil will always take you back." So for those who end up having churches, make sure whoever does the signs has your back, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this chance to open your word, and I pray in the name of Jesus that you would send forth your Holy Spirit. Come be our teacher. Come help us hear from you this day what you want to speak to us individually. Lord, you know where each person is, and you know what we need to hear today. So come, Holy Spirit, be our teacher. In Jesus' name, and for his glory, amen. As a follower of Jesus, you and I are given an awesome privilege to be able to come before God with our prayers and impact our world with his power. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and help, find help in our time of need." Jesus encouraged us in Luke 11 to ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. The Apostle James encouraged us in James 5:16 to confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy and us in 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 1, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, and for all who are in high positions. Through our prayers, we can be a part of what God is doing in people's lives, in our family members, and the people all around the world. And yet sometimes we miss out because we rush into God's presence without being properly prepared. We don't realize that there are things which can hinder our prayers. We have sin in our lives, or our attitudes are out of joint, or our prayers are all about us, and we're not thinking or caring about God's will. We're concerned about just me, myself, and I. Oftentimes, you and I need to make important decisions, and we need to hear from God. Oftentimes, we need to help someone in need, and we're asking God to manifest his presence in their life. Sometimes, we lose our joy and peace, which come from the Holy Spirit, and we keep trying to pray. Well, I would like to challenge you to consider the following this morning. When you know you're entering into a time of prayer, when you know you need to hear from the Lord about a decision, when you know you need to receive guidance from the Lord, or you just need to spend time with him, because actually, you know, fellowship, communion with him is really what our goal should all be about anyway. But take a few moments, and I want to encourage you to ask yourself the following questions. Develop a habit of just kind of running through this grid rather than just jumping into the presence of the Lord. Now, just a side note before I begin. God meets us where we are. And sometimes all we can do is cry out, "Jesus, help. Or, Lord, I need your help." And obviously, the salvation prayer is not about what I'm getting ready to share with you. Sometimes all we can pray is, "Lord, have mercy." But even in that, I would suggest to you that those kind of prayers, your heart has to be right to pray them. So, first question to ask when I'm entering into the Lord's presence. Am I clean before the Lord? Am I clean before the Lord? Have I confessed my sins? Is there known sin in my life which I have not repented of? Isaiah 59, verse 1 says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. Your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. 1 John 1, verse 8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Unconfessed sin interferes with our relationship with the Lord. And at least our ability, when we come to prayer, to perceive his presence, to hear his voice, and to have the Holy Spirit's power in our lives. So am I clean before the Lord? Now we all sin, we all fall short, and yet God in his loving kindness and mercy forgives us through his Son Jesus Christ because of his death on the cross. So the first question, am I clean before the Lord? Second question, am I in communion with others? Am I in communion with others? Are there people with whom I am not at peace with, or that I have not done what I could do to make the relationship right? Are there people I'm holding a grudge against, or who I'm angry at, or who I have not forgiven because of some offense? Is there someone that I've put down or gossiped about or discredited? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, Jesus says, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift in front of the altar and first go be reconciled to your brother or your sister, and then come and offer your gift. Jesus said a little later in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's pretty strong. Is there anyone I need to get right with? Now, I know most of us have people in our lives who are not willing to be reconciled with us. And with those folks, when you've done all you can do to make things right, you turn them over to the Lord and you leave it to him. But I'm referring to people in situations which you can make things right with. But our pride and our stubbornness will not allow us to go and ask forgiveness or attempt to make reconciliation. Men, did you know that your relationship with your wife affects your prayers? Check out 1 Peter 3:7. It says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to your wife as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Our inability to be in communion with others will affect our ability to be in communion with God. Am I in communion with others? 1 John 2:9 says, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. And whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Am I in communion with others? So am I clean before the Lord? Secondly, am I in communion with others? Third, am I confident in God's word? Am I confident in God's word? The Bible has given the follower of Jesus hundreds of promises, and many of them are directed toward our prayers. They not only inform our prayers, but they build our confidence and our faith that God is indeed involved in this process of coming before him in prayer. Jeremiah 33:3. The Lord spoke to Jeremiah and he speaks to us. He says, call to me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And I can never get this right because the translations keep changing them. But the Apostle Paul's writing here, this is a great verse. It says, now to him who is able to do more abundantly than all that we can ask or think, according to the power that is worked within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, I mean, to come to prayer with this attitude, to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than we can ask or think. So when I come before the Lord, am I confident in God's Word? Do I believe that the One who has promised is faithful? Do I come before Him believing that His promises are true and are true for me in my life and in my situation? Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He is faithfully rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Am I confident in God's Word? There's another aspect of this as well, and that is actually praying God's Word regarding a situation, or praying His Word for the people or on behalf of the people that we're praying for. Father, John is so anxious about what he's going through. And 1 Peter 5:7 tells us that if we cast our anxieties upon you, that because you care about us. So help John to cast his burden on you. Or Father, Sandra's having a difficult time with her finances. You tell us in Philippians 4:19 that you will supply all our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So Father, she's seeking you, she's loving you, please provide for her needs. Or Father, I have to make an important decision today. And you say in your word in James 1, verse 5, that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of you, Lord, and you will give. So, Father, I'm asking you for your wisdom. Send me that wisdom from above. Am I confident in God's word? It's powerful. Another question to ask is, am I committed to God's will? Am I committed to God's will? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Now this one can trip us up, as too often we want our will, our way, and our desires in a situation. And sometimes it's just difficult to discern what is God's will in a particular situation because we're so wrapped up in our will. The Scriptures tell us plainly about God's will in many situations. We know that it's not God's will for us to steal something. We know it's not God's will for us to have another person's spouse. We know it's not God's will for us to wish someone else to die because they made us angry. We know it is God's will that we be victorious over temptation. We know it is God's will that we live right and holy. We know it is God's will that we be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Scripture is full of things that's clear about what His will is. But there's more to praying according to the will of God. Am I willing for God to say no and be committed to this? Am I willing for God to say wait and be committed to this? Yes, I know Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart." Well, just because the Lord gives you a desire doesn't mean that it is His will at this time. What is His will? And then there's this Holy Spirit whom God gives to those who obey Him, John 14:23. He guides us to pray according to the will of God. God also gives us gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are very important in our prayer life, two of which I think are very important, the gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge. When we pray according to His will, God will reveal to us how to pray. He'll give us wisdom and counsel from above. He'll show us to know how to pray according to His will. And He'll give you knowledge on how to pray. Now, I often pray as part of my regular prayer time. Because I'm a bishop, I have clergy that I pray for, and I pray for my family. And typically, what I will do, if I don't know specific things about someone's life, I'll say, "Lord, how do you," and sometimes even if I do, "Lord, how do you want me to pray for this person today?" I just ask Him. And what comes into my mind, I pray for them. Well, recently I was praying for someone, and I actually wrote this to the person. I sent them a text, and I thought it was a word for them. It's Isaiah 30:41. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So I typed that up in a text, and I sent it to this person I'd prayed for. I prayed it for him. Yesterday I received the text back from him. "Thank you, Archbishop. I receive this as a word from the Lord. Similar verses from the Psalms are in my prayer journal from January and February. A sign the Spirit has gone ahead of me with His word and to this time of trial that I'm facing. Thank you for this encouragement. The Lord will guide us on how to pray for folks according to His will. Again, 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So am I clean before the Lord? Am I in communion with others? Am I confident in God's word? And am I committed to God's will? Another question to ask. Am I centered in the Holy Spirit? We sang about that this morning. Am I centered in the Holy Spirit? It's easy to run into God's presence in the flesh and not be in the Holy Spirit. But it's the Holy Spirit who gives us the ability to actually commune with the Father, to hear Him, to know His presence, to enjoy His fellowship. It's through the Spirit. Romans 8:26 says this, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." The apostles were told in John 14:26 that the Holy Spirit would help them to remember what Jesus said. And He did this when they were called to give an account for the faith that they had. He did this when they wrote down the words, which we now call the New Testament. But the Holy Spirit will also do this in our prayer time if we will get centered in Him and allow Him to guide us in our prayers. He will lead us in how to pray for ourselves and for others. He gives us words of wisdom and knowledge and insight and counsel. He will bring appropriate scriptures to mind or guide us in our study of the Bible with scriptures of relevance and power of what we're going through. A key question to ask ourselves when entering into the Lord's presence is, am I centered in the Holy Spirit? And then lastly, am I concerned for God's glory? Am I concerned for God's glory? John 14:13, Jesus said, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified." The ultimate purpose of our prayer time is for God's glory, for uplifting and honoring Him, for giving it up for Him and for Him. So what if you get healed? Did God get the glory? So what if your rent gets paid? Did God get the glory? So what if your work got done? Did God get the glory? So what if you got an A on that final? Did God get the glory? So what if you preached a home run of a sermon? Did God get the glory? In your heart. I'm not necessarily saying praise the Lord, hallelujah, and broadcast. I'm talking about in your heart, in your inner being. Is it about Him or is it about me? Too often our prayers are about our glory. If we can remember that God's glory is at stake when we pray, it changes everything. It's amazing how it transfers this prayer burden to God and off of ourselves. Am I concerned with God's glory? So are you ready to pray? Are you prepared? Am I clean before the Lord? Am I in communion with others? Am I confident in God's word? Am I committed to the will of God? Am I centered in the Holy Spirit? And am I concerned for God's glory? You know, there's one other thing about this. This applies to our worship as well. You know, we come into this chapel and we head to church to worship on Sundays. Are we really expecting to encounter God? Sisters and brothers, we've been given this incredible gift to be able to pray, to be able to access the very throne room of God, to have the ear of the Almighty. But too often we get in the way of our own prayers and we don't even know it. So are you ready to pray? Let's pray together. Father, we give you thanks for your love for us in Jesus. Thank you for His death upon the cross and His resurrection, and thank you for the Holy Spirit. And thank you that you love us so much that you desire fellowship with us. I pray for each of us, including myself, Lord, that you will teach us anew and afresh how to pray. Help us to be prepared and enter into your presence, that we might be about your will and your glory in our lives and in our ministries. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen.